And from the KTLO newsroom, I'm Anna Canny. Juno's city-owned hospital and its employee union are heading to arbitration after failing to come to an agreement over a new contract. They met with a federal mediator earlier this week. KTO's Clarice Larson has more on how they got into this stalemate and what happens now.
Bartlett Regional Hospital's employee union represents roughly 70% of all hospital staff. It has more than 550 members. The union's previous three-year contract expired in July. Shutney Frisbee, the president of the union, says the major issue that's halting negotiations for a new contract is wages. The union wants to see pay increase by 12% over the next 3 years, but Bartlett is only willing to offer just over 8%.
This is our next step, is to kind of reach out to the public and say, hey, we need you to support your community hospital, support people living locally and working at your community hospital. And in order to do that, we need to be able to afford to live.
This happens as the hospital faces a multi-million dollar budget crisis that threatens to close its doors. Right now, its board is seeking financial help for a handful of services it says are draining money. But if it can't find that money or another entity to take over the services, they will be cut come the end of October. The hospital's board president, Kenny Solomon Gross, says he believes the wages the hospital is offering to union members are fair. And he says with the tight spot the hospital is already in, increasing wages above what is being offered could mean more cuts in services or positions.
Those are the two things that always get hit, you know, services or employees. So that's a very possibility.
But Frisbee says the union has already lowered its demands since negotiations began months ago and acknowledges the financial position the hospital is in. But she says the demands are what they believe is the amount needed to make sure employees can afford to live in Juneau.
There's competitive wages and a lower cost of living all over the United States, and no real reason to stay in Juneau if you can't afford to live here and you can make a better wage, you know, up north or down south, and afford housing.
She says the increase will also ensure Bartlett can retain permanent staff. Last fiscal year, it spent more than $9 million on contract labor for the hospital and Wildflower Court. Chad Brown is the executive director of human resources at the hospital.
We want to get to an agreement. We want to get to something that we're able to, as a hospital, to take care of financially, and that won't put us further in a hole that we can't dig out of.
Brown says despite the current situation, he's confident that there will be no impact on the quality of care people receive when they come to the hospital during this time. According to city bylaws, union members can't go on strike.
I have the absolute and utmost confidence in every member of our team, whether they're union or not, to continue to provide the highest quality of patient care that we have been known for.
Once the arbitrator makes a recommendation, which is likely months away, it will be sent to the Juneau Assembly for the final decision. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
Water levels in Suicide Basin have started to drop. That's according to a statement issued this morning by the National Weather Service in Juneau. Hydrologists and meteorologists who are monitoring basin activity believe this drop was caused by water spilling over the top of the ice dam. Flooding in the Mendenhall Lake and River hasn't started yet, and it may be a few more days before it does. But Riverside residents should be prepared. Last year's glacial outburst flood in Juneau was catastrophic. Water broke the banks of the Mendenhall River and surged into Scott and Sarah Louise Griffith's neighborhood on Meander Way. Like many residents in the area, Scott says he was caught off guard.
We just hadn't experienced anything like that. And then it was too late. Like by the time it was 4 or 5 feet of water in the cul-de-sac, we were stuck here.
Glacial outburst flooding is an annual occurrence here. Suicide Basin, a glacial lake dammed by the Mendenhall Glacier, fills with rain and meltwater each year. Then it eventually drains into the Mendenhall Lake and River. The National Weather Service forecast this flooding, but last year their predictions were off.
And that was one of the most frustrating parts for me last year, because you would look at your phone and it was, oh, it's going to peak at 12. And then an hour later, oh, it's going to peak at 13. Like it just, the peak prediction just kept going up and up.
Floodwaters eventually peaked around 15 feet. In low-lying neighborhoods like the Griffiths, a lot of houses were damaged by standing water. And just upstream, severe erosion of the riverbank undermined many homes, causing two to collapse into the river. This year, like last year, the basin is full. So full, it's currently spilling over the edge of the ice dam, which has caused water levels to start dropping as of Wednesday evening. Hydrologist Aaron Jacobs will be keeping a close eye on it.
Once we do see water hit the Mendenhall Lake, we will probably be issuing a flood warning.
Forecasters have a good idea of how much water is in the basin. The problem is, they don't know how much water will drain. Jacobs said the basin typically doesn't drain all the way.
But last year, the basin wanted to throw a curveball at us and decided to release all the water.
So that's changed the way they do their forecasts. This year, the National Weather Service will include a worst-case scenario to show how high the river will rise if the basin drains all at once.
Could that happen again this year? Yes.
We won't really know until the drainage starts. To give you an idea, last year it took 6 days from the time the basin filled up to when the floodwaters started to rise. This July was especially rainy, so the Mendenhall River is running slightly higher than it was this time last year. But unlike last year, large portions of the riverbank are now lined with riprap.
We're on terra firma, at least as long as the glacier permits it, I guess.
That's Mark Kissel, the vice president of the Riverside Condominium Homeowners Association. He's standing on a swath of tightly packed gravel, about 50 feet of it that stands between the river and the condo buildings. It's a man-made replacement for the land that was washed away here during the flood last year. And the HOA hopes it will hold up as the water rises again this year.
I mean, we've done what we could. We've probably done the best that anybody could under the circumstances, and we're very hopeful.
Back on Meander Way, the Griffiths have also armored their riverbank. Sarah Louise says they have an evacuation plan, too.
I think I'm a little bit more anxious about it than he is, so as soon as the basin releases for me, I'll be like moving everything upstairs, up to a higher level, start moving some of our cars out, and luckily we have a place we can go with us, our kids, our two cats, and our puppy.
The latest glacial outburst updates will be posted on the National Weather Service monitoring page. That can be found at weather.gov/AJK/suicidebasin. And Alaska has a high rate of cases of whooping cough this year. There have been 105 so far, compared to only 26 for all of 2023. Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra reports.
Alaska's rates of whooping cough have risen dramatically this year. Joe McLaughlin is an epidemiologist with the state's Division of Public Health. He says Alaska's case numbers mirror a national trend.
We have so far had over 100 cases of pertussis this year, which is more cases of pertussis than we've seen in a long time. And the hospitalization rate among young infants who get pertussis is quite high. So that's concerning.
Whooping cough, or pertussis, is a bacterial infection that's most risky for babies under 1 year old. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, a third of babies under 1 year old who get whooping cough will be hospitalized for it. And 1 in 100 of those babies will die from it. McLaughlin says the best way to protect infants is to vaccinate them and the adults around them. The cough spreads easily through the air. McLaughlin says most whooping cough cases in Alaska are among children who aren't up to date with their vaccinations. Whooping cough starts with mild, cold-like symptoms like low fever, cough, and stuffy nose. The cough may linger for months. And especially in babies, children, and the elderly, it can become more severe.
They'll cough and cough and cough and cough, and then they'll go through oftentimes an apneic period where they actually stop breathing, sometimes for 20 seconds or longer. And then they'll take this big respiratory inhale.
McLaughlin says if you're sick with cold-like symptoms this summer, it's most likely COVID, but it also could be whooping cough. He says healthcare practitioners can test for both, and people who have whooping cough can get treated with antibiotics. He says the earlier the people get tested and treated, the better. In Anchorage, I'm Rachel Cassandra.